KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're excited to have the head coach of the 20th-ranked Fresno State softball team, Tricia Ford, in studio with us today. Tricia, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Tricia, your Bulldog softball team's coming off an amazing season, the best ever in the Mountain West, finishing 22-1 in conference play, winning a second straight Mountain West title. I know that title was your goal, but was 22-1 even better than you'd hoped for?
Honestly, we don't really set goals of what our record is going to be. We really do a lot of in-game type of strategy. So we just kind of focus on some things that we can control, and the result is a result. So definitely happy with how things went this year, but obviously looking forward to continuing to play on.
At the same time, do you look back on that last game of the year, the loss to UNLV that prevented the undefeated conference season, and wonder what could have been?
I mean, yeah, you're always going to think about it and, you know, lose some sleep on it. And this summer, when we have some off time, when I'm recruiting, some time to kind of think about it. But I'm just really proud. It was a pretty phenomenal run we had, good win streak in the nation, and just really happy with where we're at and looking forward to continuing to play.
The NCAA selection committee sent Fresno State to UCLA to the regional there as the number two seed. Do you think winning that last game would have made a difference, could have made a difference? What's your view on that?
I would like to think that it could have made a difference. Kind of listening to the selection show, it made it sound like that maybe it didn't really. And, you know, from our standpoint, you know, going undefeated in conference is about as best as you can do. So, you know, we'll just continue every year to hopefully put up those numbers and hopefully bring a regional back to Fresno.
And you mentioned that the Bulldogs play well on the road. So obviously on day two of this tournament, you've got a big game coming up this afternoon against either UCLA or Bakersfield. Just talk about how you approach this. Is it the same being the number two seed as your approach would be as the number one seed in the host?
Absolutely. I think, you know, again, we have a lot of in-game, you know, small goals that inning by inning, pitch by pitch, some things that we're going to concentrate on. You know, if we come out and play good defense, pitch well, and swing the bats like we're capable, my money is always on us. So I'm looking forward for us coming out today and really taking care of business.
What are the factors there when you talk about if you come out and pitch well or hit to your potential? What are the factors that influence those things?
For us, pitching-wise is just, you know, having Jill on the hump. You know, she's a senior. She's been here for 4 years, has done a great job of bringing this program back on the national scene, and our team enjoys playing behind her. I think offensively, you know, the key has always been getting a good pitch and putting a good swing on a good pitch. And when we are selective in the box and attacking the pitches that are good for us in the zone, good things happen.
You mentioned Jill Compton. We had her on the show very early on when the show first started. She's one of the best pitchers in the country. Obviously, that's a luxury to have, but she probably can't pitch every single inning for you guys. How do you manage her time on the hump and the pitching staff in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the good things is she really can throw every inning, and she'll throw a lot of innings in postseason. But, you know, we've had a freshman, Kamalani Dung, that's really stepped up and sucked in some innings and given us some really quality innings. And I think that's, you know, important. If you look at a pre-conference schedule, she didn't have a lot of innings, and we had some injuries that kind of hit, and it kind of forced our hand to give Kama some innings, and she's done a phenomenal job. And it's going to bode well for us in the future. I mean, we're going to have a kid that comes back that's thrown a lot of innings for us. So, you know, Jill didn't come to us as one of the top prospects in the nation. And I think it just really shows you how much she has developed and how hard she has worked. And just, I give her so much credit for her hard work that she's put in.
I think that's kind of a staple of Fresno State softball over the years. We've seen the great pitchers, the Amanda Scotts and Jamie Southerns and Morgan Mellows, Robin Mackin. Now we have Jill Compton here, where they can really go into postseason play and carry a lot of the load, at least. Talk about in softball how that's different from baseball as far as the arm motion and how you really can get more innings out of those best pitchers.
Yeah, scientifically, it's a more of a natural motion for your arm. And so there's not as much pressure put on, especially on that rotator cuff and shoulder area. So, you know, females, our strength comes from our hip area, so our midsection, our behinds, and that's where a lot of our pitch mechanics come from. And so for us, we don't have a lot of stress on our arm. A lot of it comes from our lower half drive.
Our co-host Jim Bartko also in studio with us today. Jim, it's turning into quite a year for Fresno State Athletics. A lot of programs getting either first or second in the Mountain West. We had softball clinch the title, you know, weeks ago. Baseball clinched at least a share of the title this past weekend. You've got women's tennis, a lot of individual championships in golf and track and field. Talk about just the athletics department overall right now and all the success you're seeing.
Well, I'd like to first congratulate Coach. I mean, softball's been a staple for Fresno State for many, many, many years. And when I first got here, you know, our goal was to compete for championships in all of our sports and to have back-to-back championships in softball in a great season. And we're down here in beautiful L.A. and wish we'd be at Fresno, but hopefully we can get through today and tomorrow and get back home to Fresno for the Super Regionals. If the old Ducks can get upset by Baylor, maybe we can host here next week. So, but it has been rewarding. It just shows you that with the right resources and our fan support and great coaches, we can compete for championships. And you started out, we had a kind of a rough fall with obviously football and volleyball not having the best seasons. And we get to basketball, you know, 1-2 in the league, and get to tennis and obviously softball and baseball. And it's kind of what we all want. And that's our goal for all of our programs. And, you know, we're getting there.
What message do you have for Coach Ford and the success she's had leading the Bulldog softball team?
Well, first of all, she's got to enjoy it. Time goes by so fast. And, you know, that last loss sometimes can be a blessing. I mean, it's hard to say a blessing, but you know, if you win 23 in a row, you know, maybe that loss sometimes can snap you out and make you get a little fire in you. So you can never be disappointed losing one game in league, in a tough league and in a tough place to play and traveling around, and just enjoy it, because before you know it, you'll be my age and God willing, many more years. But I'm very proud of what she's done. And, you know, we were able to extend her contract and she gets that 40 win. She gets an automatic extension for another year. So we're stuck with her for a while, which is a blessing for all of us. But enjoy it. The kids ought to enjoy it. I think one question I have for her is, you know, playing softball is one part of a student athlete experience, but there's a lot that goes into what a student athlete has to do on a day-to-day basis. What a normal day of an athlete is, with class and study hall and training table and weights and, you know, rehab and everything else. I don't think people realize what all goes into it just by those 2 hours of a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into not just on the field, like Jim's saying, but off the field kind of preparing. And so they get up, they have 6:30 weights. Most of them will go to class from there till about noon or 1 o'clock. They'll go into the training room, get some rehab. We start bullpens at 2:30, so we have the pitchers come out then. Practice starts at around 3, and that'll go till about 5:30. They go to study hall, they go to training table, they eat. Our kids eat a lot. Our softball players probably out-eat probably any other team on the campus. But, you know, we're very fortunate. We have our fruit, nuts, and bagels over in Myers. We have training table. We have, you know, just a lot of resources here at Fresno State. So after study hall, they probably eat again, to be honest with you, and they get up and it's Groundhog's Day. We get to do it again. So it's not for everybody, but I think the experience, the friendships, the bonds, I mean, these are some people that you know, I always tell our girls, never in your life will you be with this many people trying to obtain one goal. Never in your life. Like, you'll never, athletics just brings so much to your life, your life experiences. And that's why you see, you know, it comes out every year that year in and year out, successful companies want to hire athletes because they know how to work within a team atmosphere. They know how to be motivated. They're self-motivated. I mean, there's just so much that comes from being an athlete.
Leadership's another thing. And what she mentioned too, she mentioned the community hours that our athletes put in, you know, whether it's Valley Children's Hospital or Boys and Girls Club or for different areas that we get the community involved, maybe underprivileged youth that don't have the opportunity to get to games or meet an athlete and meet a Jill or a coach or somebody else that makes their life. So we're very fortunate to have our student athletes. Overall GPA was about a 3.2 last year, which is above, and we're graduating at a higher rate than the average student here at Fresno State. So I think only having success on the fields or courts or in the pool or whatever, but they're also changing lives and becoming better. And we keep hearing the NCAA that they want to reduce the hours of commitment for our student athletes. The more I hear from our athletes, when you're away from class is when you get bored or you don't go to class as often. The schedule keeps them online to graduate in 4 years or 5 years and keeps them involved. And I think that it's the off time that I worry more about our athletes when they're not in practice. We're very fortunate not to get in a lot of trouble, but it's when things happen is when they have dead time and they're not focused on their season. So
they must really learn a lot of time management skills going through that type of a day to that type of schedule.
Yeah, and I think, you know, most of these athletes come from high level, you know, AAU teams or travel ball teams, and this is kind of how life is when we recruit them. I mean, they're in high school, but they're, you know, playing high school sports, are also playing on their travel teams, having to get good grades. So it's just a continuation, I think, of their schedule. And like I said, it's not for everybody, and that's okay. I think what you get out of sports and the types of relationships and just role models, you know, I have an 8-year-old little girl, and I don't think there's any better environment than being around strong female athletes. They're taking care of things in the classroom, they're doing things the right way, and they're competing and they're winning. And, you know, from a mom perspective, I don't think that it gets any better than that.
So is your 8-year-old playing softball yet?
Well, she's a tomboy like I was. So she's playing baseball with the boys right now. And that's just her fit, which, you know, my parents were very nice and kind of let me have that experience, and I'm going to do the same thing for her. So, but yeah, she's pretty active. Coach Batesole is her guy. She loves Coach Batesole, and he, when she goes out to the games, he'll take her to the coaches meeting. She's been the only one that she got to go last year with Tony Gwynn, or maybe 2 years ago when he was still around. I was like, God, she doesn't even understand what an honor this is. So her reality is a little jaded, if you ask me.
Nice to have that inside access, though. So you said you're mother of two. How old's your other?
I have a 4-year-old little boy. Yeah. So they're very, very different. He's my monster child. So I feel like, you know, that's God's way of giving us birth control. So
I've got the same situation. I can relate. I got a little boy who's about a year and a half, and he's so much more difficult to keep track of than my daughter, who's 5. It's just night and day.
I think the older you get, it gets harder.
Yeah, maybe that's it too.
I don't think it's the, it might be the second child, but I always think the older you get on those mornings, lack of sleep, it starts affecting you more often.
And then
now that I'm old and I'm turning gray and everything else. So,
and Jim, you've got the different challenge of having one in college now.
One in college, one teenage girl.
And I mean, Coach, that must be time management challenge for you too. You know, you've got the two children at home. You've got all your children, in air quotes, student athletes here on the team. What's that like to manage those two different worlds?
Well, I have a good husband, so that's first and foremost, but I have support. You know, we're fortunate. I'm fortunate in our athletic department. It's very kid friendly. There's times where my kids come to work, they spend time, you know, my husband will bring us sometimes out to practice because I will have, you know, to go up to the office afterwards. So that's my only time that I get to spend with them. And again, like, I just think that I'm providing a good role model. You know, mom's working hard, dad's working hard. We're both contributing to the family. And I think, you know, there's a lot of pros to that. And we're in such a good place. I mean, we're 5 minutes from home. I can run home and see them for a half an hour, 30 minutes. So, you know, I don't have much to complain about. So I'm just getting out there and playing ball.
Jim mentioned it earlier as far as, you know, really sitting back to enjoy the success the team's having this year. Have you got a chance to do that yet? Have the players got a chance to do that, or does that come later on?
Yeah, I think it comes later. I mean, we're still deep in the grind right now, and that's what I expect him to say that, but I think he also expects me to be where I'm at as well right now. And just worrying about us and getting our team prepared, I think that's my biggest thing, and making sure that they, Coach White from women's basketball, her and I talked earlier this week, and she brought to me a quote from Arthur Ashe, and I thought it was phenomenal. She said, the quote, I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but basically the gist of it is you want to be loose physically, but tight mentally. And that really hit home to me. I mean, again, we have just such a phenomenal, like I said, athletic department and coaches, but, you know, really getting our players, I think that's my goal right now, is to get them to be out there and be loose physically and making sure that our fast twitch muscles are going and, you know, all those good things, but mentally tight. And what I mean by that is focused on task, really, you know, that clear vision of what kind of our task is at hand. So I think right now that's really my ultimate goal.
It seems like the bat and ball sports, more than anything else, maybe takes that mental sharpness where, you know, you have to go through the repetition so much of what to do in this situation or that situation that it's almost second nature. You know, if there's a runner on second and one out, where are you going with the ball, that type of thing.
And I think it's a unique team sport because it is a team sport, but there's a lot of one-on-one challenges kind of woven into the sport. You know, when you're the batter and, you know, you're pitching, I mean, that's mono versus mono. And so I think, you know, there's some intricacies of our sport that really, you know, it's a game built around failure. You know, you fail 7 out of 10 times and you're doing really well. I mean, you've got to be mentally tough to be able to go through that grind.
We mentioned the success in the classroom, too. Obviously, this week, Friday and today, is the commencement ceremonies for Fresno State. How many players do you have graduating this year?
We have 8 seniors, but I think a couple of them are going to come back next fall and finish up. So I think we have, I believe, about 4 of them graduating or able to walk. So we're taking care of things on the field, and we'll probably do something for them today to kind of honor their graduation.
Yeah, obviously, it's a little bit tricky when you're playing in postseason.
On the day of graduation, yeah.
Yeah, but is there anything special that you guys are able to do, you know, to honor them, or how do you handle that?
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah, come back home next weekend and play again, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they all get rings, so that's a nice prize, right?
Yep.
Jim, take us behind the scenes a bit, behind closed doors in the Fresno State Athletic Department, if you will. We don't all get to be a part of some of those meetings that happen around there, but what's a typical conversation like between you and Coach Ford, or what types of things do you guys have to?
Well, we're very fortunate to have a great senior staff. What we're able to do is give each of our senior associates different sports to oversee. You know, Steve Robitel has been with softball many years, and we changed that now with Carrie Coyle, our SWA, coming in, and she's got a huge background. So I think we have great people that can really monitor day to day. And for me, so many different meetings that I have going on, you know, I try to travel and do different things with each sport all the time. So I'll be down here now, and I'll go with baseball next week to Albuquerque, and he travel with basketball and women's basketball. It's tough to kind of day-to-day have 21 sports now with wrestling and water polo being added, but we have a great staff that are able to handle the day-to-day, you know, but I try to see Coach and send her texts a lot and tweets a lot. And
invite her to your radio show.
Invite her to my radio. No, but we're always looking to grow, and we're always looking, you know, to enhance our fan experience and get our fans to support our programs and donate to our scholarship fund with cost of tuition. And it's always a battle with ever increasing costs. And, you know, if you don't get, right now we only have one football game on TV. Usually we have two or three, and that's about $1 million hit right there just by not having, you know, a couple more games on TV that we normally would have. So those are things that I worry about every day, you know, just trying to keep everybody what they need to have to do it. But some years are tougher than others, and some years are next year with our football scheduling going to Alabama and Washington, it'll help all of our programs. That's about $2 million hit that we can get back. So it's just some years are tougher, some years are easier, and that's where I lose the sleep over. So
I think it's important, like Jim said, we have good people in place, and so there's things that he needs to do. We need him out in the community. We need him out, you know, raising money for us, you know, talking about Fresno State, and we go and we deal with his great administrative staff. And I think that's important, that I know that if I go have a conversation with Steve or Carrie, that my voice is heard, and you know, when they meet as a staff, that those concerns are, but I don't need to meet with him every day. Hopefully he hires good people and good coaches, and we manage ourselves.
What are the softball program's needs for the future? What's on your to-do list when it comes to building this program back to that national championship level?
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously have a phenomenal facility. I mean, there's some things that we could do here and there. But I think the biggest thing is for us to make sure we continue to recruit good athletes. And I think recruiting is the lifeline of our program. I think we get great support here. You know, I think there's not a lot, like I said, that we can complain about. I think put my nose down, get some local talent, which I think we're starting to really tap that pool. And for us, it's about putting a good product on the field. So I worry less about what I need and worry more about what I can do in order to get the program where it needs to get to.
One of the things he did last year is, I think, the cost of tuition. I'm not sure people really realize the impact that it has for the athletes, but also the cost that it has. I mean, it's, you know, it's about $1.3 million a year addition. With scholarships going up, we have to raise about $7.5 million just to cover tuition and cost of attendance. So those are things that I worry about every day, because if you have a hiccup here or there, it affects everybody. So
is the softball program at that highest level in the NCAA right now, or do you think there's another step to get to that we're still working toward?
I definitely think there's another step that we are working towards. I think you can see the level of play has increased over the last couple of years. And, you know, I always think there's a lot of room for improvement. And I think we're getting there. I mean, our recruiting class coming in next year is ranked in the top 10 in the nation. And I think there's some things. I mean, I'm a coach. There's always going to be things that I think we need to work on. So, I mean, I think we're knocking on the door. And each year that we've been here, we've gotten a little bit better. And I hope that that progression continues.
Is there a program out there that's the model for what you want to do here? Or is it more an instance of looking in the mirror and, you know, we're Fresno State softball. We've been national champions before. We are that model.
Yeah, I think I want us to develop our own model. I mean, I think we, you know, we do things the right way. I think being in the Valley, it's a special place. And yes, Coach Wright did a phenomenal job. I mean, you talk about a legend. I don't know that they come any bigger than Margie Wright. And, you know, there's a lot of great programs out there. But I think it's important for us to have our own identity and for us to do things the Bulldog way and really embrace kind of where we're from and how we do things. And I think you're going to get more buy-in when you do things your own way. So, you know, we're just continuing, like I said, to develop our kids and make sure that they're doing things the right way on and off the field.
We always have to do more in our budgets, you know, in the middle, probably middle of the Mountain West, you know, a third, fourth in our budget. Texas is 140 million, and they have less sports than we do.
And you're talking overall.
Overall. So it's, we have to be who we are, and we have to always be battle and grind and grow our budgets and grow everything else each year. But are we going to be able to say that we can have the same budget of, you know, Alabama when they're at $132 million? It's not going to happen. We've got to dominate our conference. We've got to then get a little luck here and there and keep growing our fan base and grow our budgets and, you know, do more with less. I hate to say less because it's still a good budget, but you know, there's some schools in the country that you can't outspend. I mean, you're just not going to do that. So,
and it seems like that's part of the fabric here at Fresno State. It's always been, you know, why not us? Why can't we do that? And it's been sort of that grassroots effort of just the community at large of saying we want to compete at that level and here's how we're going to go do it. Is that kind of the attitude you still see?
Yeah, I don't see why we can't. And, you know, having more money doesn't make you better. We've got a great Nike contract. We've got great fan support. We've got good facilities. the Mountain West, we have to battle. And you know, there's some programs in the Mountain West that have a lot less than we do. There's some that have a little bit more, but everyone in the country struggles every year. When Oregon was at 99 million, you know, one bad football season, that can go to 70 million, just like that. And then you're all worried about it. So we're going to continue to increase. We're going to continue to get through this season, which is our toughest budget year because of all the things that we have going on. But we're going to get better and better and better. And Coach has done a great job with what she's done and continue that tradition. And all of our sports, you're starting to see that we're battling for conference championships in all of our sports, top to bottom.
Trisha, you've been here 4 years now, about twice as long as Jim. But what's it mean to you to be a Bulldog?
Gosh, I mean, I just feel like it's a good fit for me. You know, come from a very blue collar family. I was the first one out of my family to graduate from college. And so I just feel like I fit here. You know, I always tell the story when I first took this job, I came from the Bay Area. Nobody knows who I am. You know, took the job. I was here and I had one of those. My little guy was one. Yes. At that point in time. And I got up and it was really early in the morning. I ran to Target to get some diapers. We've all been in this scenario. And I, you know, had just rolled out of bed. So I walk in, my head's down, like I just need to get what I need to get and get out. And I walk in and somebody was like, "Hey, Coach, welcome to the Valley." And I looked up and I was like, "Oh, dear, you know who I am," you know, and a note to self, throw on a hat or something, you know, before you go into public. But, you know, I really enjoy the fact that softball is important. I enjoy the fact that people know who we are when we're out and about. And every time I go out, it's like, "Hey, great job," or "Tough loss yesterday." Or it's nice to be surrounded by people that I think have just great values and work hard and really come out and support all of our athletics.
And I think that's a good sign. If you're being recognized, that means people out there care. So, you know, a lot of that was started by Margie Wright, who you mentioned earlier. At one time, the winningest coach in NCAA history, won a 1998 national championship at Fresno State. A lot of accolades that she built up.
College World Series appearances. Yeah, it wasn't so smart for me to take on after her, huh?
But that's what I was going to ask. What was that like? Was that intimidating at all to be the replacement for Margie Wright? Or how did you feel about that 4 years ago?
Yeah, I guess I kind of take a different approach. I'm not replacing her. I'm never going to be able to replace Margie Wright. I mean, she is just phenomenal. I'm here. And kind of when I went through the interview process, that's what I said. I am who I am. You either like what I am and how I do things or you don't, and that's okay. And I think that's something that I enjoy here is that I can be who I am. And whenever Jim and I do talk, or Steve and Carrie, it's never about, well, this is how things have been, or there's no comparison. And I enjoy that. And Coach Wright has been phenomenal. You know, when we clinched, she texted me and said, "Congratulations." And she's just a class act. And I think, you know, for me, it's important for me to kind of come here and be Trisha Ford. And I know that I'll never be Margie Wright, and just, you know, respect a lot of what she did. And, you know, I think it's just important, kind of like how I want our program to kind of set our own tone, for me to do the same thing.
A lot of Margie Wright's Fresno State days centered around these epic matchups with UCLA. You guys are, you know, in UCLA now, trying to get out of that regional. Do you anticipate there could be another epic Fresno State UCLA battle on the horizon this weekend?
I definitely do. I think, you know, we have a great fan base that's here this weekend. They're excited. I think, you know, as we go through and continue to work hard, you're going to see the UCLA Fresno State rivalry really kick up. So I'm looking forward to it. And I know that we're going to come out ready to play.
Jim, what do you want the fans to know about this softball program and why it's important to support?
Well, I think we have a great fan base, and I think they need to understand how difficult it is year in, year out to battle. I mean, it's not easy to win those 20-some-odd straight games and back-to-back championships, and very proud of what our coaches have done. I think our fans need to appreciate it also, and don't take it for granted.
I know you mentioned you've had a busy past few days here with a lot of different budget meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
Give us an overall state of Fresno State athletics right now.
I think it's always, you know, it's a moving target. We've got great leadership at the top with our president, who's been very supportive of what we've done. We need to do it the right way. We need to continue to increase our fan support for all of our programs. Best years are ahead, and we're going to get there. So if we can have all of our programs compete at a national level, like softball's done, and baseball and basketball, women's basketball, and our tennis program, you know, obviously they had a great season, just lost on that, won the division, won our conference, but lost in, you know, on the automatic berth. And so it's, you know, we're getting there. I think our fans in this community need to keep supporting, come back out. Over the last 10 years, we've lost a few people in our fans. Now we're starting to get them all back, and that's going to help for us to be successful. Everybody in this community needs to have an investment in our sports, because our athletes are doing it, our coaches are doing it. Now we need everybody else to do it.
Softball is one of those programs here on campus that's got a long-standing tradition of success. Lacrosse is one of the newer programs here on campus. Last week on the show, we had Bill Romanowski, the NFL legend, on the show, talking all about lacrosse and trying to generate support and get that program going, like some of the more traditional programs on campus. How cool is it to have someone like Bill and Julie Romanowski out there raising money for the program?
They're supporting all of our programs, not just that. But we have a lot of fans that, former athletes, you know, that are supporting, but we have a lot of fans that are down here in Los Angeles this weekend that support all of our programs, top to bottom, and our scholarships and everything else.
Speaking of fundraising, how's the Bulldog Stadium project coming along?
Oh, it's going good. Yeah, so we'll start. You'll be seeing phase one go this summer. Some just more brand new football stadium, but it's the fencing all around of our softball and baseball and lacrosse, just to have a better entrance and make it look a little better. And then we'll get our RFP for the architects to come in this summer and start getting ready to go. And we'll start probably a year from now. You know, we can do a lot of things, but, you know, a lot of the revenue for all of our programs come on TV and get receipts and donations that help all of our programs. So we need to have that facility. It's been 30 some years since it's been touched, and it's starting to fall apart.
When you talk about those branding elements, is that, you know, even drilling down to uniforms and logos and marks and consistent?
Being consistent with the colors, and if you drive into our Bulldog Village there, there's a lot of different colors. I kind of cringe when I see some of the fencing and the signs that are kind of all mismatched and have a little color scheme with our uniforms, so everybody's kind of the same, and there's a Bulldog image that we can have.
Will we see uniform changes season?
I think we're going to tie it all into one stadium when everything is done, you know, because if we start piecemealing, it doesn't go well.
Jumping across Cedar Avenue a bit from the softball stadium, Bob Bennett recently had the baseball stadium named in his honor, the all-time winningest Fresno State baseball coach. Any fun stories around the events that weekend? I know we had a lot of alumni and former players back on campus.
I don't know if it was funny. It was more emotional because, you know, he's battling a little bit with his health. You know, we're never as good as what our history is. We have to make sure we honor the past and move forward in the future. Obviously, Margie had her thing, and Coach Bennett and Biden had their thing, and obviously Pat Hill had his thing. We have new coaches now that are just as good, and they're going to build their own dynasties here. We need to always remember the past alumni that helped build our programs up and welcome them back and make sure that they know that they're welcome back. Okay, we had a couple hundred former track athletes at this week's Mountain West Tournament out at Clovis at Buchanan, having them back for a reunion. They haven't been back for years, and it's kind of our job that we don't forget the history, you know, but move forward in the future also.
Jim Barco, Fresno State Director of Athletics. Trisha Ford, Fresno State Softball Coach. Thanks for being with us in the studio today. Fans can catch this weekend's action on the radio. Make sure to follow the Fresno State Athletics Twitter and Facebook pages to find out where to catch the action, what stations. And thank you both for being here today.
Our honor.
Thanks for having us.
Let's get some wins today.
Thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno State Softball Coach Trisha Ford. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Barco. And as always, thanks to our Sports Report producer, Kevin Kirsten. Please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.